Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So if the inauguration wasn't good enough for you, if Donald Trump getting on the little whirly bird and heading off to Andrews and getting on the big bird heading to Florida isn't enough, three Democratic senators were sworn in. We now have Chuck Schumer as majority leader. And I'll be honest, I'm not a huge Chuck Schumer fan. I never have been a huge Chuck Schumer fan, but he's not Mitch McConnell. So you know, this is one of those, at this point, don't care. If we can get rid of McConnell, I'll take Schumer. But big day, lots of possibilities, lots of hopes for the future. And I don't want to oversell it. I think there's going to be a lot of fighting and a lot of work to be done to get Biden and the administration where we want it to go. But Trump left. That's, I think, historic. And here to share some thoughts, not just on today, but the last 4 years, I've asked Matthew Chapman to come back and talk with us. Matthew's a reporter over at the wonderful website Raw Story. Matthew, thanks for taking time for us.
Pleasure to be back, Rick.
So 4 years ago, you were here. I think it was the first time we met 4 years ago doing this show on Inauguration Day. And you were pretty much, this is going to be bad. Was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
Well, it was definitely at least as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was certainly a bit different than I thought it was going to be. For one thing, I know that a bunch of people have said this, but I really was terrified he was going to lead us into a war. And, you know, I guess the one bright spot we can say is that his paleoconservative nationalism prevented him from leading us into a war. But it led him to do so many other horrible things. It led him to assault minority rights in the country, appoint all kinds of corrupt and unqualified judges. It led him to try to strip healthcare from working people. And, you know, it's just been a brutal 4 years. And all I can say is that I'm really glad that our institutions held up to the extent that they did and allowed us to elect another president who can try to clean up this mess.
Yeah, that really kind of sums it all up perfectly, because Biden is looking at a giant mess. You know, if you thought 2009 was bad, and it was, this I think is worse because you've got this pandemic that you can't really do much other than, you know, do what we've been doing, do more on the vaccine front, but it's going to rage on and it's going to cause havoc in our economy, and our economy's on the brink of collapse. As you know, you've got millions of people looking at homelessness and just all kinds of craziness. This isn't a great time to be president, but it could be, because he could be the next FDR. He could be the next Abraham Lincoln. He could be the guy who brings the country back together and brings us towards prosperity in the same presidency. And so I think I've got great hopes for him.
I completely agree. And you know, I absolutely hope that he's a president cut in that mold, because, you know, it's not always obvious at first, because Lincoln and FDR didn't go into government, you know, in wanting to be radicals. They were radicalized by the politics of their era, the crises that faced the nation, and what was necessary to get the ship back on course. And I very much hope that Biden will be in that same vein. It sounds as though he understands the scope of the problem, and most importantly, he's got a Democratic trifecta to help him accomplish it. And that's just something that's an enormous relief to me. It's been so long since we've had a Democratic trifecta. I was 19 when we had our most recent one. So, it's narrow. So it, even in spite of that, it's going to be hard for Biden to accomplish sweeping change, but I think that Democrats understand the gravity of the situation, and they're going to do their best to do right by the American people and working families.
Now, you as a reporter over at Raw Story have spent a lot of time looking at the craziness, looking at all of the allegations of fraud, all of the stuff that was the making of a coup attempt in our country. In looking at that, do you see there being a way back for us, for that group of people who engaged in this? Do you see a way of uniting the country as Joe Biden called for today?
You know, I honestly don't know in the short term. There's no doubt that many of these people have fallen down a very, very dark rabbit hole. And many of them, right up until today, believe that there was some sort of military coup that would happen at the last minute, that Trump would still be president and all the Democrats would be in jail. That's the sort of thing we're dealing with here. However, you know, the anger and the craziness of the moment is not unique in American history. There have been periods in the past from, you know, the Know Nothing Party, from the Second Klan. There have been these kinds of national hysterias over and over again in our politics. And eventually they die down, but they're never truly defeated.
Yeah, I mean, they'll go back.
I would say.
No, I agree. I think they'll go back underground. I think once we get a handle on how things have been able to rage on social media, I do think you're right. I think things will tap down. But I also think things will tap down when we, and I've been saying this all day, when Biden moves forward on his Build Back Better plan, we whip this virus, we get the virus under control, and people's lives get better. I think everything comes back down to the Carville frame of it's the economy, stupid. That if people are doing better, you get them out of their basements where they're plotting to overthrow the government and give them something productive to do, I think things get better.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is a monumental task facing us. This virus has just absolutely devastated our communities, our economy, our jobs, our health. We have to live in fear of this every day. And I think that the administration understands the fear that regular Americans are going through, not just about the virus, but about how it's affecting their way of life. And, you know, it's really refreshing to have a president who is going to take that seriously. I don't have any illusions that he can just wave a magic wand and make this virus go away overnight. I mean, even if Trump had been a competent president, he couldn't have done that same thing either. But I think that he really cares about the people. He cares about the opinions of experts, and those two things are going to help us get through this.
Yeah, but everything you just laid out there is why I put so much blame on the back of Donald Trump, because he did believe he could wave a magic wand and make it disappear. He thought the power of positive thinking, well, just we can wish it away or sunshine it away or whatever came. And it was that rosy optimism, if you will, if you want to give him credit for being a rosy optimist. It was that let it take off in the beginning and let it rage for so long before we started actually doing the right things. And I don't know that we've actually done the right things entirely, but begun to do the right things. Had he come out right from the start, and I've said this for quite some time, had he come out and said, look, we don't know what this is. We don't know how bad it's going to be, but the pandemics for dummies playbook says wear a mask, stay away from each other, and wash your hands. I call on my MAGA patriots to put on a Trump MAGA face mask and use my Trump soap and use the Trump ruler to stay away from each other. He'd have gotten reelected hands down.
I'll never understand why he didn't do that. It would have been such an amazing branding opportunity for him, and branding's supposed to be the one thing that Batman is good at.
I absolutely agree with you. Now, let me ask you this. You're obviously one of my favorite reporters over at Raw Story. You and Sarah Burris are my top folks there. What's this going to mean for the media landscape going forward? There's not going to be Trump to kick around. We're not going to have Trump to kick around anymore. Or, you know, his insane rage tweeting at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're not going to have we're not going to have an incompetent, lying government. At least I hope not. Where do you see the media going from this point? Because look, a lot of people are pointing at you guys and saying, well, you're part of the reason for this. What do you see the future for folks like you going forward?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me that, and it is absolutely true that for many reporters, Trump could be kind of a crutch. He was very entertaining, his nonsense, if framed in the right way. Now, I don't think that his being gone will mean that politics and government become boring again. I reject that idea, honestly. However, I think that the tone and the type of things that we cover definitely will have to change. And I hope that they'll change for the better. I hope it means that we can do more discussion of policy, of kitchen table issues that affect people's lives, of just things that will make our government run better. And, you know, I will also say that it isn't like we will run out anytime soon of craziness in Washington, because there have been plenty of Republicans who got elected on Trump's brand who are going to act like Trump every day.
Yeah, I think of the one that I've been following for a couple of days now. This gun nut Barbie, the gun fetish Barbie, who I call her. You know, the Lauren Boebert, I think her name is, from Colorado. You know, she's way out there. I mean, honestly, I have no idea why she's in Congress other than she made a name for herself yelling at Beto O'Rourke. That's her claim to fame. I don't see any policy initiatives coming from her because I think she's about an inch deep.
I don't really see it either. I mean, and, you know, she's barely even been in office, and she's already got these accusations surrounding the surrounding what happened in the Capitol, whether she live tweeted Pelosi's location. I will say that some of the rumors flying around about her have been fake and debunked, and that's understandable to some degree, because in this day and age, people, you know, the outrageous, it's hard to tell fake news from real news because of how crazy Republicans act.
Yeah.
However, it is absolutely true that she has not behaved the way that the congresswoman should be held to.
No, I'm right there. And I said from the beginning, someone had said, you know, she gave the traitor tours. And I said, I seriously doubt she gave tours because I don't think she knows where the bathroom is, let alone where the secret offices are. And that was my initial reaction. And then there was the information, well, she did give tours. And I said, look, you know, if this is it, you know, you're in big trouble. Turns out potentially from what the information has been, you know, thrown around that she had family members that she gave a walking tour of what she could. And I guess didn't know where the secret offices were. And that's where a lot of the myth has come and a lot of the allegations have come against her. And
yeah, you know, we're obviously going to learn a lot more about this in coming weeks. But, you know, honestly, my hunch is that none of the Republicans who were related to this, who've been, you know, implicated in this, really knew what was going to go down, that there was going to be violence in the Capitol. I think that they knew they wanted to whip up anger about the result of the election. I don't think that they wanted actual bloodshed.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wanted actual bloodshed. At least I hope not. But I gotta be honest. I'm not gonna give them the naive. You know, we've got plausible deniability. They had to know what they were doing was amping people up, and by amping them up, that Lauren Boebert, for instance, saying today's 1776. You know, that kind of rhetoric. That, you know, this is a revolution. That kind of rhetoric leads to, whether you want it to or not, these kind of violent acts.
Absolutely. I mean, whether or not there was anything intentional in there, it was reckless behavior, and they need to hold themselves accountable for it.
Right.
And if they won't, then you know, their constituents should hold them accountable for it.
No, and that is the hope. Now, the impeachment happened. He's left office. He got on the whirly bird, and they took him down to Florida. Are you on the he has to be removed, convicted bandwagon? How do you see that playing out over the next several weeks?
I honestly don't have any way of knowing. It is entirely possible that there will be a bunch of Republicans who use the fact that he's out of office as cover to not engage with the reality of what he's done, to just dismiss the charges on a technicality. I think that'll be the easiest way out for them, especially the ones in, you know, heavily red states.
So let me ask you this, take off the reporter hat for a minute. You know, just as Matthew, the citizen, what are you expecting the next 4 years to look like? What are you hoping for? And you know, where's your mind going as a citizen, not as a reporter, but as a citizen?
Well, my hope is that we're going to see a government that actually tries to deliver for people, not just for, you know, the wealthy, well-connected. I'm hoping that we're going to see a government that just tries to care about everybody who it represents. And, you know, I don't think that it'll succeed in everything it tries to do. I don't think any government ever does, but I really am hopeful for the future that we can at least return to to a basic level of civic responsibility from our leaders.
I hope you're right. I fear, however, that Democrats do what Democrats do, convene the circular firing squad, shoot themselves in the toe, and not get anything done, because it is such a slim margin, 50-50 with one Kamala Harris vote as the tiebreaker in the Senate for us to get anything done. And if they don't do something with the filibuster, it could be just, you know, another 4 years of absolute gridlock, and we end up no better and actually worse off than where we started here.
That is entirely possible. And, you know, I will also add this. This is something that I was actually talking about earlier today on social media, which is that, you know, people tend to forget this. But in 1992, Bill Clinton actually ran quite a progressive campaign. He's remembered today as, you know, one of the quintessential centrist moderate presidents, but that is mainly because he spent most of his time in office under a Republican Congress, and he spent most of his time trying to come up with plans that would get some support for them. Now, if we want Biden's administration to be a little bit more FDR, a little less Clinton, our first priority should be making sure that we keep the gains we've made at the legislative and congressional level and expand on them in the midterms.
Yeah.
Because then we'll be able to have a government that can give, that gives Biden the space to govern as a progressive.
No, but, you know, again, that's going to take Democrats actually, putting the key in the engine, starting it up and driving straight down the road and not, you know, crashing into each other. And I'm hoping that, you know, Biden, you know, having spent all that time in the Senate, understands how things get done, works whatever magic he believes is possible, and the epiphany he believes Republicans are going to have actually happens, so that we do get down the road together and we do make things better. But Matthew, I appreciate the time. Great talking with you. Hope you'll come back and share some thoughts and some of your work with us in the coming weeks and months.
Of course, Rick, anytime.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Matthew Chapman, reporter over at Raw Story. Make sure you check out their work, rawstory.com. Fantastic stuff. Got to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.